Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The fate of two Massachusetts men sentenced to life without parole as juveniles is now in the hands of the state parole board. The men, both now in their late 30s, were 17 when they were involved in separate crimes that resulted in murders. They are the first two cases to come before the board after the state Supreme Court declared life without parole for juveniles is unconstitutional. As WBUR's Deborah Becker reports, the first case involves a man who claims he's now a completely different person than when he was 17.
38-year-old Joe Donovan said he was a stupid kid when he, along with two of his friends, got into a confrontation with Yngwie Raustein in Cambridge in 1992. During that confrontation, one of Donovan's friends fatally stabbed Raustein.
I know the choices I've made, I know in the past have been bad and they've caused a lot of pain. And it's my earnest hope that this boy can see that I've grown out of the ignorance of my youth into a thoughtful man who's not a danger to society, but hopefully one day will be a benefit to it.
Donovan was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole because at the time he was 17 years old, which was the age of adult criminal responsibility in Massachusetts. Donovan's friend, who stabbed Raustein, was 15 at the time, prosecuted as a juvenile, and served a 10-year sentence. Much of the parole board's questioning yesterday focused on Donovan's disciplinary record in prison, which includes several violent incidents and 7 years in solitary confinement. But for the past 14 years, Donovan said, his prison record has been good, and those earlier incidents were because of his age and fear.
Yeah, it was a very violent place to be, very scary. I thought I had to be a tough guy.
But parole board chairman Josh Wall said other inmates in similar circumstances don't have the same record. He also questioned why Donovan was not involved in more rehabilitation programs in prison. Donovan said he wasn't always eligible for programs because of his life sentence. The only person to voice an objection to the board was the assistant district attorney who prosecuted Donovan, John McAvoy. He said Donovan was downplaying his involvement in a robbery that resulted in a murder. McAvoy did not explicitly argue against parole, and he said that the Raustein family feels that Donovan should be released. Donovan was asked what might be some of the challenges for him if that happens.
Technology is one thing. Just to drive up here, I see, you know, everybody got cell phones in their hand. I don't know any of this stuff. You know, I'm going to have to learn. There's going to be a big learning curve.
Donovan's father, Joe Donovan Sr., was among the dozens of supporters at the hearing. He says because his son grew up in prison, he'll likely need a transitional or step-down program before he can live on his own. The elder Donovan says he came away from the hearing hopeful about his son's possible release and grateful that he had a chance to be heard.
And when they go in front of the board, they listen to them and they, you know, then you make a just decision. When they heard this case here, I think they'll come up with the right decision.
This hearing is the first since the state's highest court ruled that mandatory life without parole prison sentences for juveniles are unconstitutional. That makes 44 Massachusetts inmates eligible for parole. The court ruled that juveniles do not have the maturity to be held as culpable as adults. The parole board yesterday also reviewed the case of Frederick Christian, sentenced to life in prison in 1998 for killing two men in a drug-related robbery. Juvenile public defender Josh Dohan says these are test cases for how the board might handle future matters involving juveniles. Overall, Dohan says, he found the hearing encouraging.
We'll have to see when we get their decision, but I thought they really seemed to be paying attention to the question of what's the maturation here, what's the rehabilitation, what's the remorse, is it genuine, and not focusing nearly as much on the questions of punishment and deterrence.
Four board members would have to vote in favor of parole for either man to be released. The board will now issue a written decision, but it has no specific time frame by which to do so. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.